Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
You are now listening to St. Jude Play Live Podcast Series, Episode 2. Play for more than bragging rights. On this episode, we have multiple interviews. Gaming content creators, we have Lobos Jr. and also Bloody Faster. And after that interview, we also have two St. Jude patients. Name is Caleb and also Miguel. Enjoy.
Listening to Gamertag Radio.
Well, hello. Bloody Faster, real name Eleni. So I started streaming pretty late in my life. Okay. I was...
What is late?
Late is 30.
Okay.
And I mean, I can say that, right? Like, yeah, it's pretty late. It's pretty late, considering most of my peers are in their early 20s. Okay. So before that, I was a gamer. I had been a gamer for many, many years. And I just found out about Twitch kind of randomly. Okay. And I started being a viewer on Twitch for a few months. And then I just tried it out myself. And that's kind of, it's not a very, you know, like, interesting story, I guess.
My name is Mike, or Lobos Jr., and I got started when I was going to be playing like a classic game for my first time, and my buddy was like, oh man, I wish I could watch you play, and I being the tech PC guy that I was like, I bet there's some way you can do that. So I just did some like searching, and I found that Justin TV existed.
Oh, and I remember Justin TV.
Yeah. And just to be the ability to live stream stuff like that, and then I figured out how to stream games, and then I was able to share my first experiences with my close friends. And then from there, one day I sat down, and I really wanted to play through my favorite game of all time, The Legend of Zelda Link to the Past.
High five on that one.
And I sat down and I beat it, and it took like 6 hours or 7 hours. And I was like, that was nice, but that took a long time. So I wish I could play it more often all the way through. So then I got in, I discovered the world of speedrunning, and then I started speedrunning a bunch of games. And from there, I found the Dark Souls series, which is now what I'm pretty much known for today.
That's a tough one.
Doing Dark Souls.
Definitely. Yep. Cool. So I know it's hard to come up with a name at first, right? For me, it took me a while, right? So how long it took you to come up with like your own name and everything? Yeah.
So this is something that I can describe to you, but it's not as impactful as...
Okay.
Yeah, so my name comes from a very bad commercial that we had in Greece, because I'm from Greece. And
I was going to mention something about that, but go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, it's basically it was someone saying Bloody Faster with this like posh British accent, and somehow this phrase got stuck in my head, and that's what it's not really good. If you see the commercial, you'll understand it's very bad.
But see, a good thing is you flipped it from negative to positive, so that's good, right?
Yeah,
right?
I guess so, right? I hope so. Way. I hope so.
And you?
So my last name is Villalobos, and so growing up, I got the nickname Lobos, actually since middle school, and that's just what kind of stuck. Mike was kind of a common name, and like my PE teacher started calling me Lobos, and I was like, okay. So I started using Lobos as my handles, my names for games, and then I played World of Warcraft, and I had Lobos, and I made a second character named Lobos Jr., and I had all my characters Lobos-based. Well, it turns out that Lobos Jr. was my favorite character, so I started playing that one the most, and the Jr. part just kind of stuck there. Yeah. That's what I ended up using.
All right, cool. So my family, they're from Dominican Republic.
Okay.
So I love to combine like culture from the Dominican Republic into, you know, from gaming and all that. So I know you do the same thing. So my dad, back in the 70s, in the 80s, a little bit of the 80s, he used to work at a Greek restaurant. So yeah, so we learned a lot about Greek culture in New York City. So when I read your bio, I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. I gotta, you know, mention that very quick. I know you always bring that culture side from Greek.
I mean, right? I can't help it. Yeah. It's in me, right?
Yeah. But it's pretty cool that I'm getting to see like a lot more people doing that, you know, because a lot of people just from the States, they only know about U.S. and that's it. But mm-hmm. it's good to also mm-hmm. share cultures from around the world, right?
Like, it is. I was scared at first coming on, like starting streaming on Twitch. Mm-hmm. I was scared that people will find me weird not having what is considered, you know, an American accent mm-hmm. or, you know, like, I don't know what other accents people know about, right? And I thought, hey, maybe people won't accept me, you know? And they did. And they did. No one has ever said, hey, you're so weird. Like, what is this accent that you have? Mm-hmm. No one ever. Everyone is super nice about it. And they're really interested in knowing about how we do things, you know, or, you know, teach us some words, some phrases in Greek. It's mm-hmm. always so nice. And because Twitch is worldwide, it's not just the States, it's mm-hmm. everywhere. And seeing people from all over the world come together is just amazing.
You live there?
No.
So I lived in the Dominican Republic.
I mean, I was years. There for my whole life.
Okay.
Right. I moved 3 years ago. I moved to the States 3 years ago.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
It's pretty fresh. It's pretty recent.
So when I lived in the Dominican Republic, it was like a total culture change to me.
Oh, yeah.
So I appreciate more like the struggle that my parents went through to come over here and mm-hmm. everything. So I learned a lot. And I'm super thankful
right.
that we moved over there and I got to learn more about my parents, you know, culture and everything like that. Yeah. So it was really cool. So how was it? You want to say something about it?
Well,
I don't know.
I guess on a similar vein, just real quick, yeah. I was also born outside the States. I was born in Costa Rica.
And, Costa Rica. Interesting.
I didn't live there for too long, but, you know, yeah. I went back all the time with my dad, that my dad's side of the family was there. So I also, you know, saw how much he had to work to get to the States and then mm-hmm. establish a life here and all that.
Yeah, that's cool. Good to know. Yeah. So let's talk about St. Jude Play Live, like how you guys got involved with this.
So as a streamer, even early, very early in my, streaming career, I guess. I don't like saying that. It's just like my streaming career. as a streamer, I wanted to do something for charity and I started working with a lot of charity organizations. And then I just randomly stumbled upon St. Jude Play Live, I think on Twitter, and found out what that was all about. Then I got invited to the summit for the first time. That was 2 years ago. So this is my third time now at the summit.
Really cool.
Yeah, it is. It is. Mm-hmm. And I went to the summit not really knowing what to expect. I hadn't really toured such a, you know, place before. And just being there completely, it changed my life for, you know, the better. Mm-hmm. I went back home after the summit and I was just stunned. And I was so motivated to do something for those kids. And yeah, and I did. And I keep doing that and I will keep doing that. And I'm just so happy that this has just expanded the way that it has. And more people every year are getting interested in this and they do things for St. Jude Play Live. It's just amazing to see how much it's grown.
I as well have been doing charity stuff for years before I started with St. Jude. And at some point I started seeing, you know, pictures from like the summit and all that. And then seeing, you know, videos talking about the kids and everything. And I think St. Jude does a really good job of making those stories available, which really allows you to connect and understand what all your money is going towards, you mm-hmm. know. Obviously, any charity is good. You know, the cause is good, but especially when you have a way to really connect to who you're helping, it helps a lot. And so that really got me on board with starting fundraising for St. Jude. And so now every May is just St. Jude month for me.
All right, so my last question. It was cool to see the like from the beginning to now, it was, I think it was like 12 streamers at first, and now close to 300.
Right.
Pretty insane. And that's just in a couple of years. So there's a lot of streamers that probably want to get involved with this, right? Mm-hmm. But maybe they might be discouraged. Maybe they don't have a lot of followers, a lot of views. Why do you think it's important for them to get involved and help St. Jude?
Every little thing that anyone does helps. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be like thousands of dollars for it to make a difference. And we say people that, and it's true. Like, we really mean it. So even if you are, let's say, a streamer that is just starting now, you can still make a difference. You can still ask your friends to come help out, you know, get your first donation in, or your family, you know, the people who are around you, your circle, and they can help out. And then the ball gets rolling, and it just, it's kind of the first step is the hardest, and it's true. And I don't think that people should get discouraged, because we are all here and we can help each other out, and we do. Mm-hmm. So everyone, the St. Jude Play Live, they're super supportive, and they can help with, you know, figuring out incentives, milestones, all that stuff that make fundraising easier and more fun.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, you got to understand that big things have small beginnings. And even if you sit down and you spend a bunch of time, and even if you don't even raise a dollar, like, just having that awareness, people coming by and seeing that that you're doing this and that you can do this, even if that could, you know, inspire one person to go off and do their own thing, and then they, you know, keep doing it year after year, and it eventually it gets big for them. You know, I've done charity stuff for probably 8 years now. And the first thing I did was probably a $100, $150 raise. And last year we did $106,000 for St. Jude.
Awesome.
So it's just,
huge jump.
You got to start somewhere, but yeah, you know,
that's awesome.
You never know. Yeah. You never know where it can lead to. So
very quick. I know we have to wrap it up, but mention your, Twitch. People could follow you and everything. And then when you're going to, are you do this throughout the year, or do you have like a date that you're planning?
First, the link, I guess, twitch.tv/bloodyfaster. My campaign has already started for this year. It started a week ago. My big efforts start on my birthday, May 3rd. That's when I go just all out and I do like a long stream.
Early birthday is coming up.
Yeah. Like throughout the whole month of May, I will be fundraising.
Awesome. And you?
Pretty much. The whole month of May is blocked out for it. So May 1st is when we'll really start kick it off. And then I always end with a big, like, long marathon, May 31st, to try and just, you know, get as far as we can before the month is over. Cool. Oh, and my stream is twitch.tv/LobosJr. That's Lobos JR.
All right. I just want to say thanks. It was a great conversation, right?
Yeah.
So thanks.
Thank
Good
you.
Luck.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
My name is Caleb. Caleb Mack. I'm a former patient from the Bahamas, and now I'm interning at St. Jude, and I am finishing my freshman year at University of Memphis.
Cool. And you?
So my name is Miguel, and I'm from the Dominican Republic.
Oh, yes. I'm Dominican, too. So.
Yeah. Oh, you're Dominican.
Yeah.
Oh,
Plátano Pavo, man.
Oh, qué bueno.
Yeah.
¿Quién lo diría?
Yeah.
So my name is Miguel. I'm from the Dominican Republic, and I'm 27. So I already graduated college, and I work for St. Jude as an engineer.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Two things that stood out for me. One, Dominican Republic, and you also mentioned during a presentation during lunch about Miami. I'm from Miami.
Really?
So, yeah, we have a connection here,
yeah,
man, you know,
Caribbean.
So it's cool. Yeah, very cool. So, are you a gamer too?
I am.
Yes?
Not a professional gamer, but I professionally
very casual,
play.
Very casual gamer,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you? Are you?
I'm amateur. I'd say probably my best game is, you know, most sports games. I wouldn't say FIFA is my best, mm-hmm. but, you know, all the other games,
yeah.
I try. So I think that's the thought that counts. But
yeah. So a quick question. Yeah. How was your reaction finding out about St. Jude Play Live? Because typically when you mention this to, like, the non-gamer, they'll be like, gaming? Really? You could raise a lot of money through using gaming? How was your reaction hearing that
was,
as a gamer?
Yeah, you know? So that was my exact reaction. I think I knew about Play Live last year, mm-hmm. but I didn't realize how big of an impact it was.
Yeah.
And, you know, learning more about it has really, like, Like, I know we have a lot of supporters for the hospital, and, you know, we reach out as best we can to different kinds of communities. Mm-hmm. And I think the gaming community is probably the biggest one that, you know, a lot of people are into gaming. A lot of people are into watching the streamers. And I think this was, like, a best way to, like, you know, expand it. Mm-hmm. And especially, like, with a younger generation, you know, this is something that's going to be with them for, you know, next 10 years. And I think this is one, not only a smart idea, but I think it's actually, I think it's one of the best things that could have been done, yeah. Especially for my generation, seeing, like, you know, I know you said you're only 27, I'm only 20, but, like, I'm in that generation where it's like, you know, we're so technologically advanced, where it's like, you know, gaming is just one of the biggest things that's going to take, I feel like it's going to take over my generation. So, yeah.
Without a doubt, taking into consideration that mm-hmm. gaming has become so big now, challenging other entertainment industries like music and film. Mm-hmm. So when I heard for the first time about PlayLife, I was like, this is one of the most ingenious ideas I ever heard. And the reason is because I've been a true fan of speedrunning, like speedrunning communities, and mm-hmm. I've always been into it. Mm-hmm. And then when I saw the St. Jude Play Live, was like St. Jude coming into the, reaching out to the gaming community, and then the gaming community mm-hmm. responding to it and giving back, I was so blown away and so blessed.
And how do you guys find out about St. Jude?
Well, my mom knew about St. Jude before we even came here. And when I was diagnosed with leukemia as a kid, the doctors, he referred us to St. Jude, and my mom had already known about it. So she was, she had mentioned it to the doctor right before he had left. And she was like, do what you can to, you know, to at least, you know, reach out to St. Jude. And within like 5-6 hours later on, like a lot of back and forth conversations between, the hospital in Miami that we're at and, St. Jude in Memphis, they approved us. And then that's how we first got here. So that was my first time knowing about St. Jude, was when I first got to Memphis.
Mm. And you?
In my case, I came all the way from the Dominican Republic because after going through so many different places, actually, I went to Florida.
Okay. Okay.
So
same place, Miami?
No, not Miami, but in another place in Florida. Mm-hmm. I went there, and it was because kind of like in 2010, I was diagnosed with a type of cancer called osteosarcoma. Mm-hmm. And this cancer, there was no treatment available in my country. And we came to Florida asking for help. And the doctors there said that they could do the surgery and give me the chemotherapy that I needed. But it was too costly, almost $500,000. And not having the money, mm-hmm. we went back to my country there. And we finally got a referral to St. Jude. And St. Jude charges nothing and ultimately saved my life. And forever grateful now I'm back working for this organization that saved my life, giving back.
Yeah, I know during your presentation you said that being here, I think it was like 3 years, right?
Yes.
3 years. That was like your best time of your life, right?
Yeah.
Like, so why you were saying that? For those that don't know much about your life and also St. Jude.
Well, you know, a lot of people ask me now, like, what does the hospital mean to you? And I call it, you know, a home. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, when I come here, anyone who like either works here, like supports the hospital, I feel like they're like a part of family to me. Mm-hmm. And the 3 years I was here is that, you know, even though I was sick, was that I had doctors and nurses who always cared for me and always wanted to make sure, like, you know, how I was feeling, make sure they did whatever they could to make me smile. And, you know, while I'm waiting in waiting rooms, we had games to play. And, you know, when I was waiting, I'd play games like Lego Star Wars and backyard baseball, stuff like that. And, you know, the food was always good, the housing was always good, and it was just like it took my mind off of like the reality of my situation. But when I left, when I finished treatment in 2008, and they say, like, you know, you won't be in the patient care lobby anymore, you'll be in this clinic that we have called After Completion Therapy Clinic. And, you know, it's like it's a happy time to, like, you know, no longer have to receive chemo. But I was just a little saddened because I'm like, you know, I won't be on the main campus anymore. I'll be in this different clinic, and, you know, you go through that for 10 years. You either go through it for 10 years or until you turn 18, whichever comes second. And when I officially graduated from St. Jude altogether, I was like a little nostalgic. I was a little sad. I'm like, man, I don't want to go into the real world. These other hospitals,
and it could be scary too. You know, it could be scary. Like, what? Because I'm not used to that now. Exactly. What's coming next? You know, so
this is something I grew up with, and it's like the first thing. It's like, you know, when I came up to America, this was the first thing I knew about. And you know, I thought, you know, I just thought America was like, you know, the best place in the world, and especially like Memphis and St. Jude. I thought it's like almost like a Disney, in a way. That's how I can describe it.
And you feel the same way too? Like,
yeah, that's actually how nurses describe St. Jude. The nurses that work here, they say this is the Disneyland for nurses. And so it's for patients, because if you get a tour of the hospital, and anybody listening, if you want to get a tour of the hospital, it's super easy. Just go to the website. I give you a tour personally. Mm-hmm. Me and Caleb give you a tour. Yeah. And you see that it doesn't look like a hospital, because it's such a cherished place, in which what we're trying to do here at the hospital is to takes worries away from the family that are coming to the hospital, and having the kids enjoy their time while they're here. So this is something very particular that you don't see in other places, is when you tell a child that they're coming back for a checkup, for a follow-up appointment after their treatment, they're just coming back, they get excited. How can you say that in other hospitals, other kids getting excited for going back to the hospital? Because when they come back, they get to see their friends, they get to see their doctors and their nurses who were there tending for them for long nights. So it's a wonderful place.
I think it's also the comfort level, you know, because sometimes it could be very scary and being in a situation like that and going to a hospital, you're like stressed out, especially the family members too. But I feel like doing the tour, I feel like I feel comfortable, and I'm not even a patient. I'm just doing the tour. So I can imagine being a patient, you know, so it's really cool to experience that, you know. So
it was a shocker for me when I came to the hospital, to the doors of St. Jude, because I told you I went to other states and to other hospitals and every hospital in the Dominican Republic, and coming to St. Jude, it was such a different experience. You're seeing the statue there of St. Jude at the very entrance, and just walking to the hospital and seeing my medical staff waiting for me in after hours just to receive me, and looking at all the walls and their painted, I mean, just a magnificent experience, a relief.
I know he mentioned a couple of games playing. What about you? When you were here at the hospital?
When I was here in the hospital, I think I missed my chance to become a professional streamer. Let me tell you why. Because when I came, we have amazing like open areas where kids can just go and play, especially in the housing facilities. Yeah. And what I used to do, I'm a big fan of Nintendo. Like, I'm a Nintendo head. And one of my favorite franchises is The Legend of Zelda. That's my series. And I used to play it. And one game came out at the time in 2011, which was Skyward Sword. And I started playing that game. Let me tell you, I would play in the common rooms because I didn't have the game, but they had it in the common area. Yeah. All the kids will come to see me play. At that time, I should have known, you know, I can make a career out of this. But that's always the game that I always go back and play, The Legend of Zelda, because of all the puzzles, because of all the RPG material that is involved into playing games. But I'm also big into RTS games, you name it. I'm into it, and fighting games too.
Cool. So is there any content creators that you're like, man, I can't wait to meet them in person, like, and you finally got to meet them through the summit?
Yeah, this was... getting to meet, you know, Dr. Lupo, and getting to meet when I did the Cheddar interview, getting to meet I can't even remember his name, but I don't even think he told me his name, but getting to meet him in person, it was like, this is something like, you know, people around work have been telling me like, hey, you did so great on the stream, and I'm like on the stream and the interview, but I'm like, you know, this is like, I've gotten to meet so many people at my time my time being here at the hospital. But at the same time, like they influenced me, I influenced them. I know Dr. Lupo stuck around for a minute when we're heading down, and he, you know, he thanked us just for, like, you know, being here and sharing our story, because, you know, like, this is the reason they're doing it. Yeah. And you know, St. Jude does their best to, you know, have celebrities and have people who have like some kind of influence on the world, at least, to come to the hospital and, you know, not really have a rad check, but also to take the kids' minds away. And when I got to meet, you know, people like the Jonas Brothers when I was a kid, I got to meet Shaun White, Randy Owen, Jennifer Aniston to this day. I mean, I want to see her again.
Yeah, but, yeah, that's a really cool, that's cool though, man.
That was really like, it was really sweet seeing her because I'm like, I watch her on Friends all the time, yeah. And I see her in all these movies. And I'm like,
so you call her by her name or by her name on the show?
So when she first came, I was yeah. like, I looked at my mom, that's Rachel, yeah. And she was like, you know, she has a real name. I'm like, yeah, it's Rachel. Don't tell me it's not.
Yeah. Awesome. And you, any content creators you got to meet?
Just the entire community, especially Dr. Lupo, that I get to the chance to see him, but many yeah. others like yeah. I'm Brandon, Herving Hart, and the reason why is because I'm at my house. It's been a long time knowing Dr. Lupo from the Destiny days that he used to play, especially my brother who's big into Destiny, and seeing face to face all these streamers who you always have like a screen in front of you separating you from them, and mm-hmm. then when you actually get to interact with them, how human they are and how passionate they are actually mm-hmm. and to give back and how fun they are, it's heartwarming.
Yeah, my last question is, I know you guys both are working here now and everything, what is your goal now with St. Jude, your goal?
So for me, I'm at University of Memphis and I apply for our nursing school this fall semester, and if I get it accepted, I'll be in there starting spring 2020, and I hopefully would graduate May 2022. And my plan is to come back and work as a nurse here. And you know, I know you can also speak for this, is a lot of people who work here actually end up never leaving until like, you know, they retire, because this is just such an amazing place to work. And my thing is, you know, this place saved my life and I want to save other lives that come through the hospital. Mm-hmm. So, you know, nursing is like the big one for me. And, you know, through my internships, you know, if I don't get into nursing, then I learn something on the LSAC side.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'd go over it, you know, probably switch majors and be able to get another degree to where I can come and do something else here. So mm-hmm. hopefully this is where I start my career and end it.
Cool. And you?
In my case, as I mentioned earlier, being an engineer here, so working in the IT department. And mm-hmm. So my goal is to become the next CIO
okay.
in the organization and then become the next CEO in the organization.
That's
so,
very cool.
So anybody listening, and if my boss is listening, I'm going for you.
Awesome.
Going for your job.
Yeah. No, but it was cool meeting you guys, man. And glad that you guys shared your story too for our listeners too. So I just want to say thank you.
Thank you,
I was
Danny.
Inspired the whole time, man. So thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, cool. All
right. Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Once again, thank you so much for listening to the St. Jude Play Live podcast series. Play for more than bragging rights. Go right now to playlive.stjude.org. That's playlive.stjude.org. Or join their Discord, discord.gg/St. Jude Play Live. Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.